Sunday, October 16th, 2011.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you wanna go. We're heading out to Lakeshore Drive. Football makes us feel so.
What is the definition of a must-win football game? Well, to be technical about it, you would say a must-win game is a game wherein your playoff hopes are on the line. And you're not going to have a game wherein your playoff hopes are on the line in the sixth week of the season. But to me, a must-win football game at any point in the season is a game where when you look at it and say, if they don't win this game, the rest of their season becomes an almost impossible trek to the postseason. And I look at this Minnesota game Sunday night and I say that is exactly what this is. They've only had one other game that I would consider a must-win, and that was Carolina at home. You look at your schedule, you look at who you still have to play, the schedule is certainly lighter, the back eight games, as opposed to the front eight games, and I'll tell you, if they lose Sunday night, if this Bears team loses Sunday night, they have very little hope of getting to 9-7 or 10-6, and they have very little hope of making the postseason, and will be in danger of spending the better part of December debating whether the general manager and coach are coming back, and I can't imagine they would, as opposed to debating whether they can get the sixth seed and try to upset somebody in the first round of the playoffs. Sunday night is a must-win ball game, and it's the whole game. The whole game is on the run defense. That's it. You know, I said last week I wanted to see performances out of Forte and Briggs. We got the performance out of Forte. This entire game, Sunday night, is on Lovie Smith's ability and Rod Marinelli's ability to put together a coherent game plan to stop the run. Because if they stop Peterson, they win. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You stop Peterson, you win. And guess what, Lovie? And Rod, and Brian, and Lance, and Chris Harris, and Merriweather, and the inside of that defensive line. You got to stop them. Because if you don't, you're going to lose. And if you lose, it's season over. Due to some technical issues, we're going to get right to the picks contest this week. And we are adding a third sponsor to the picks contest roster. Of course, we've already got the backyardbirdhouse.com and fisheyevertigo.com. You get prizes from both of them should you win the picks contest. We're also adding the crispy creations of Nicole. Nicole was a longtime blogger on this site, one of the originals even, and we're glad to have her back. She just contacted me recently. You can go onto her Facebook page. She is called the Crispy Queen, and her Facebook page is facebook.com/crispy. C-R-I-S-P-I-E, Creations by Nicole. So facebook.com/CrispyCreationsByNicole. And she's going to send you guys a big old Rice Krispie treat, Chicago Bears themed, if you win the picks contest. So now we got three pretty cool, local, and non-conglomerate sponsors to join the group here. And I'm hoping to keep adding them as the season goes on so that you'll get a whole bunch of shit if you win this contest. John is 10-4-1. Chris and I are 9-5-1, a game back of John. FQD1911 and Big Daddy have both put up two perfect weeks. There's a bunch of you with one. Take a look at the site now and you can see who that is. And unbelievably enough, we enter week six. As Mike Francesa would say, in the league where they play for pay.
Picking and we're picking all night, gonna pick and all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks. Oh, John, Jeff, and Chris gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boys going 3-0. Sometimes the boys going to dose and dough. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me.
First pick, easy one. Bears, -3, Sunday night against the Vikings. You saw yesterday, I picked them to win by almost 20 points. I think they're going to win this game. I think Adrian Peterson will probably break off one run. He'll have 89, 90 yards. But I think the Bears will be able to move the ball consistently. I think Hester will make a play on special teams. I just don't think this Minnesota offense is varied enough or two-dimensional enough to be able to attack the Bears consistently down the field. If the Bears know you want to run and run only, they can gang up on it. They're still good enough to gang up on it. If you can throw it and run it, they're going to have trouble with you, and they'll have trouble down the stretch with teams that can do that. I think the Bears handle them easily here. Bears -3. Second pick, I'll take Carolina +4 in Atlanta. I think Cam Newton will cover every spread put up against them this year. I think he's that good a player. I don't think Atlanta's going to have a lot left in the tank. They had that Green Bay game seemingly in hand the other night early on. They were starting to get some confidence. They could see their season coming back to them. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers, bam, touchdown, and that was it. I wonder how much Atlanta will have in the tank for this game. I wonder if they'll take it as seriously as Carolina will. I think Carolina will come in guns blazing, and I would not be surprised if Carolina won this game outright, but I'll take the 4 points. Carolina +4 in Atlanta. Last pick, and this really isn't an easy week to pick. My last pick is the Bills +3.5 at the Meadowlands against the Giants. I don't think the Giants are very good, and I think the Bills have that 2001 Chicago Bears magic going right now. It's 3.5 points. I don't see how it should be more than a field goal. I feel like if it's a field goal game, I win, so I'll take that. I think the Bills will have an easy time throwing the ball down the field, even with the injuries they sustained last week. An easy time moving the ball up and down the field on this Giants defense, which outside of the pass rushers, has very little going for it. I think the Giants will lose a second home game in a row. I think the Giants will be embarrassed by that loss. And I don't think the Giants are having a big season this year. Their second half schedule is the hardest in football. I do not think this team is going to the playoffs. I think the dream probably ends this Sunday. Bears, Panthers, Bills. Eat them with your milk.
And even Liberace smiled. Something he can't see is something he can't see.
Chris's picks.
Lucas and Owen again. It's week 7. It's our third week of picking games. We are still here to fix the mess our dad started. We are 5-0-1 so far. Pick number 1. Panthers +4 against the Falcons. Panthers put points on the board against everyone and seem to cover every week. The Falcons defense stinks and they have no Julio Jones. I love Cam Newton to Steve Smith. Take the Panthers plus the points.
Hi, it's Owen. Here's pick number 2. Ravens -8 over the Texans. The Ravens had a week off to heal and prepare for the Texans. Ray Rice, Joe Flacco, and the Ravens defense will have a huge day against a beat-up Texans team. Ravens -8.
It's Luke with pick number 3. Take the Packers -14.5 over the Rams. The Rams are terrible. Their defense is awful. But the Packers' offense is awesome. This could get ugly really early and often. Packers -14.5.
Owen again, here are our picks. Packers -14.5, Panthers +4, and Ravens -8. We will not let our dad near the computer ever again. The kids got this covered.
Relax, baby. Now we're all alone.
Jonathan is once again so busy with his big job at a big bank that he couldn't get his picks in. So I play this song to honor his favorite restaurant.
She would never say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes.
But John will take the Cowboys, the Vikings, and the Colts. I will take the Panthers, Bills, and Bears. Chris will take the Panthers, Packers, and Ravens. Your picks for this week. And let me add another thing about this week for the Chicago Bears, which is a lot of people around the national media are starting to write that the Bears are coming apart at the seams. I think it's a bit of a rush to judgment there. They're not really coming apart at the seams. They still have the same flaws right now they had a year ago. And they've got essentially the same players on their offensive line to get better the way they did a year ago. They've just got to settle in to the right guys at the right spots. And not having Gabe Kerimi right now is killing them. They've got to survive these next 2 weeks. They've got to figure out who they can put at the safety position, who can be viable back there, who can keep plays in front of them. And if they do those things, they're going to be successful. They're going to be successful down the stretch. The question is, can they do those things? The Reverend's rant contains foul language and is not suitable for any members of the Frank Omiyale fan club. I have pork chop.
I was a big fan of Sesame Street when I was a kid. Who wasn't? Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch, all that shit. So Sunday, watching the game, I find myself thinking back to my youth and being reminded of the count. One false start, Two false starts, Three false starts, Jesus fucking Christ, 9 false starts, are you shitting me? You know how many years I had to watch Sesame Street before I could fucking count to 9? God damn. And the thing is, I'd still have to be watching the damn show if I wanted to be able to count up all the yards our defense gave up for the second consecutive week. And maybe Sesame Street would have been more useful if it done a fucking episode on gap management so Chris Harris could have a fucking clue about where he was supposed to be. I mean, sweet Jesus, it's to the point where I'd rather have a fucking Grover in its safety. Sunday's game was brought to you by the letter F as in failure, the number 0 as in chances of making the playoffs we don't get our act together, and the generous support of enablers like the McCaskies who let the GM and coaching staff duck accountability. But the thing is, as much as I want to once again rip on the brain trust of Jerry, Lovey, March, Marinelli, and Tice, I can't, because this week the players were equally reprehensible. Now the fucking offensive line, even as epic a fucking failure as it is, deserves a little understanding. After all, they have a right guard playing center, a right tackle playing left tackle, a first round left left tackle playing left guard, a center playing right guard playing right tackle not playing because he's hurt, and of course, Frank fuck me Omiel. Of course they're going to be fucking terrible. To a certain extent, it's not even their fault anymore, even if every one of their goddamn false starts are. But the defense, my God, man, there aren't excuses there. These are vets who've played in the system. They get paid the big bucks, and they've been demanding more big bucks, and they're getting fucking torched like they bathe in kerosene. They're 28 in rush yards, they're 27th in passing yards, and they're 17th in points allowed in the league. They also have 43 fucking penalties, which is good for second most in the NFL. Harris was a disaster out there, and you can't blame a sore hammy for fucking brain cramps. Briggs was a far cry from his usual self. Pino was lousy, our pass rush non-existent, and we made Javad Best look like Adrian fucking Peterson. 111 yards from Forte and a great performance by Jay could have been enough to overcome the goddamn offensive line and a receiving core that can't catch a goddamn pass. But you can't also ask them to make up for a total defensive failure. After the game, Urlacher called the team shitty. You better hope he was channeling the spirit of Mike fucking Brown in 05, or else our season ends next week when the real Adrian Peterson comes to town. And damn it, right now, I do not have a lot of faith.
I have poke chop.
Here's my Sundays with the Chicago Bears. I get to Josie Woods between 10 and 11, and I debate between 11 and 12 when to have that first beer. You know, when are you going to let that first cool American lager hit your lips? Because then you know it's over. You're going to take that to the end of the day, and you'll probably be in bed before the 8 o'clock game kicks off. When the Bears play at 8 o'clock, it's so frustrating, because you need to have your wits about you, especially if you're in my position where you got to write about the game coherently the next day, or even that night. So I spend, on a Sunday night game, from about 11 till 5, debating when I'm going to have my first beer. It sucks. It sucks. It's the most frustrating thing. I hate the Sunday night game. But let me just say this, because I end every show with this, and I want to make sure it's clear here. The game's at 8 o'clock. You know you're going to have drinks if you go out. It's not going to be over till midnight on the East Coast, 11, 11:30 Central Time. If you drink your beers, leave the car at home, take the cab, it'll be the best $20 you ever spent in your entire life. Do not drink and drive, it is the message, the more you know message at the end of every one of these shows. Enjoy the game, I think it's going to be a successful night for the Chicago Bears, but if it's not, you know where to come Monday morning, I'll be here as always. See you later.
It's the Bears Blog Weekend Show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you wanna go. We're heading out to